Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Pete.
And we are not on a boat, but we did tape a ton of shows on a boat on the Fantasy Comic Con cruise over the past couple of days. It was a huge blast. Unfortunately, the first podcast that we taped, which was an interview with the awesome, incredible Gail Simone.
She is amazing.
Ran into some tech problems. Is that a fair way of putting it?
Yeah. Unfortunately, our tech person wasn't there yet, so kind of halfway through, the tech person showed up and turned on the audio.
We prefer to say that half the podcast got lost at sea. I think that's the way to put it.
That's the way to put it.
But we do have some awesome stuff, including all of the audience questions she answered, some great interview questions, just to get you up to speed to the podcast you're about to listen to. So first thing she told us was her comic book origin story.
Which was amazing. It was the first time I heard that.
It's really cool. You could definitely search it out online. Basically, she started as a journalist. She started on online forums, ended up creating this thing called Women in Refrigerators that really changed the conversation about gender in comics. It's really cool. We also talked about two of her awesome comics that are currently coming out, one called Surviving Megalopolis, which you definitely checked out. Really screwed up comic book.
Yep.
And also her other book from Vertigo called Clean Room. Really screwed up.
Yeah, you thought that first one was screwed up. No, second one is worse.
Yeah, no, it's totally screwed up. So you should definitely check out both of those, particularly Clean Room, which is going on right now. The art's crazy. The story's crazy. It's still in progress, so you can definitely jump right on board. But we bring you to the podcast.
Enjoy the podcast.
Already in progress.
You work for so many different companies. Do you, does it often, is it like company publisher first, or is it idea then to publisher? Does that make sense?
Ooh, that's a complex question. because the reason it's complex to me is because it's really both things. There's certain publishers that I really love working with and love the characters that they publish. And, you know, I've worked for DC pretty much since nearly the beginning. I worked for Marvel for a while first, and then I was exclusive with DC for 8 years. And then I still do work for them. And Dynamite, you know, pretty much just when I work for them, I pretty much get to do what the story I want to do, which is really freeing. And I thought I did not want to write Red Sonja. It was not something I was interested in. And my mom, I found out she was a fan of the character Red Sonja, and I didn't even know it all this time. And she literally was texting me and calling me every day, several times a day. You're going to say yes, right? Please say yes. Do it for me. Please do Red Sonja. I love Red Sonja so much. And she's a redhead as well. And I think it's just there's so few really powerful, cool, kick-ass, you know, redhead characters, and she, you know, really loved her. So I'm like, oh, okay, Mom, I'll do it for you. And so I told Dynamite I would do 6 issues. And then when I started writing Red Sonja and got the tone and everything that I wanted to do, I just fell in love with it so much. And just I did probably 3 years worth of stories.
Wow.
Rather than just 6 issues by the
Mother knows best.
Well, it was really a weird feeling because, I mean, every project I do, I love. And some are more difficult for, you know, Wonder Woman's very difficult, even though I absolutely love it. And I think people can probably, you know, understand why when the character's been around for 70 plus years and it's a female iconic character and, you know, everybody has their own idea of who Wonder Woman is. But Red Sonja, I would sit down and say, I'd say, I'm taking a break from this other thing I'm writing. I'm going to write, like, you know, Red Sonja for a couple hours or a few pages. And I'd look up 12 pages later. I'd get so lost in her world and her character that I just really did love it. And now I'm working with the team on doing a Red Sonja video game, which is really... Wow. Yeah, we just had a meeting. It was really cool. Oh, my gosh. I cannot wait.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's so
cool.
It's
a lot of swords and chopping.
Good. Cool. That's sort of the one.
Yeah, that's sort of a thing. Yeah. Yeah. That's a thing she does.
It's a very diplomatic...
There might be a few smart-ass remarks here and there.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask, what is your favorite part about writing? Is it getting the pages back and seeing, like, what you first saw in your head, like, come to life? Is it when it's, like, done? Or is it, like, the start, like, oh, I get to start a new project? Like, what's your favorite part about it?
Oh, okay. I love, love, love when I see the art come in because it's always... I've been so fortunate to work with so many genius and talented artists and people who see things visually and can get that out on the page. And because I have no talent in that regard, it's always like looking at a little miracle that I don't understand how it happened. So those are always great days for me. And I'll spend a day you know, kind of skipping around the house going, oh my God, I can't believe, you know, Walter just did this or Nicola did that or Jim did this. But my favorite part is when the readers start reading it.
In getting their feedback.
Just seeing how they react to the characters and hearing them talk about it. Even if they don't like it, I still enjoy that part of it, seeing how a person with such and such background interpreted this thing that I wrote. Did they come close to what I meant? Or, you know, because once the thing is complete, it's out there and it's no longer really mine. It's becomes its own different thing at that point.
Okay, but really, who's the best artist you've worked with? Just choose one. Just one. You don't actually
I'm going to say Josia Garcia Lopez because no other artist would get mad at me for saying that.
Fair enough. That's smart. I wanted to ask you, and I hope you don't mind talking about this, I wanted to ask you about your social media use because you spend a lot of time on Twitter just straight out trolling people. Where do you find the time to do that between all the writing?
You know how artists do little warm-up sketches?
Yeah,
uh-huh. I guess my warm up is trolling. No, and you know I'm really fast at it, and sometimes I do need to take, like, if I'm working on clean room, which is really heavy, and then I need to go work on something lighter, like if I'm doing a Simpsons piece or something, I've got to switch my brain gear somehow, and you know, and plus I started online. People don't seem to remember that is I was online and I started writing online with a column long before I started writing comics. So I'm comfortable there. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, where I started. I live in a tiny, tiny town with no comic book store or outlets or anybody really to talk to about comics. So that's what I did before I started writing. And I've just been comfortable there.
Not that it's anything you need to do, but would you ever want to get back to comics journalism at all? It pays a lot.
I do like to do occasional little essays, but I think it's really difficult. What I learned after, you know, writing the column, that it's really not a great idea to keep, because it was parodying everything and making fun of things with love, but still, no matter now, if I did that, people would think I had inside information about whatever I was parodying, whether I did or not, and it just doesn't seem right. But I do like doing essays and little funny pieces once in a while, and it's something that I like to do, but it's been suggested to me that it's not a good idea. And I tend to agree.
It's hard to be in the industry and also commenting on it.
I don't have a problem commenting on opinions on it. Most people who are on who see my social media know that. But as far as writing, you know, a parody piece about a convention that somebody ran and it took them hours and hours of work and money and everything, it just doesn't feel like I'm the person to do that anymore.
Sure. Now we're going to get to your guys' questions in a second. We have prizes and stickers for everybody, so hang out for that. But what do you have coming up? I know there's a bunch of things that you're working on right now.
Oh, one thing I have coming up that we're getting ready to solicit here pretty soon is Crosswind, which... is an image book that I'm the co-creator is Kat Staggs, and we have 4 issues done, so we're ready to solicit. We didn't want to solicit till we had enough done so that we wouldn't miss any shipping dates or anything. And that one, it's a crime fantasy, which basically what happens is we have this really handsome, got his shit together, greatest apartment, best car, best girls. Everything's going great from Chicago. The only problem is he kills people for a living. And then we have this other character who is a Seattle housewife who is basically controlled by her husband. She's kind of lost her own, you know, self-respect. Her neighbors make fun of her and harass her all the time. And she just kind of a little bit mousy and downtrodden, and something happens, and one day they completely switch lives. So she wakes up in a hotel room with a bathtub full of body parts, and he wakes up in Seattle in a house with an obnoxious stepson and a husband expecting him to cook dinner for his boss. And that's where it starts.
That's great.
And it's absolutely stunning. Sexy, violent. This is something that I'm very excited for people to get to see because Kat is known for doing likenesses, and this is one of her first projects where she really is creating the look of the characters out of her own mind and creativity, and it's really stunning.
Cool.
Definitely.
So we're hoping that's going to be coming out around April, but should be soliciting in the next couple months.
All right. Okay. Very cool. Definitely check that out. And now it's time for my favorite section, because you guys make it up. Oh. It's audience questions.
Yes. Nice.
All right. There you go. So raise your hands. I believe Gail has. Pete's going to go out?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, awesome. All right. What's your name? What's your question?
I'm Weasel on Tumblr. I'm Rando Deadpool, but
hey,
I just wanted to tell you. Thank you very much, because standing up for representation of different groups, because we have a little community, me and my friends. I grew up in South Texas where there was a lot of poverty, a lot of violence. It actually helped us survive, knowing that, you know, your commentary, like the refrigerator thing and all this, it helped us to know that other people were understanding. It gave us hope, and it helped us get out. And so I really want to thank you for that, and I feel really bad when I hear that you get a lot of hate.
It's okay. I can deal with it because I get a lot of the other two.
See, that's
it completely washes away.
Okay, because it's like on Tumblr, you just get, you know, oh, it's an anonymous, kill yourself. You're like, ha-ha, reaction gif. But, you know, I really wanted to thank you for that. It's not a question, but there are a lot of people out there that you may not be aware that you've helped us make it to where we are today, and if we hadn't had you, we wouldn't be here.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, that is so
well,
nice.
Well, and that's the thing, that's the power of art and fiction, I think. And when we're seeing art in particular, and comics to me started out so far ahead of the game. I mean, they were so forward-thinking, they literally scared the shit out of people. And I had an older gentleman in my audience one time when I was writing Wonder Woman tell me that he was terrified when Wonder Woman came out, because the idea that there was a woman that could possibly beat you up just scared him to death. And, you know, this was way in on... So to me, that's what I thought comics always should be, is they should be ahead of the curve and be forward-thinking. And at different times, I think that it may have lost their way, like the 50s and 60s maybe, but in particular. Oops. But when I first started comics, writing comics, I had a small little agenda that I kept to myself, which was, hello, Mr. Mark Waid.
That was your agenda?
Saying hello to Mark Waid? Yeah.
Nailed it.
Was that I wanted to show...
Yeah.
That I wanted to show that we could have female characters that could run their own missions, be powerful, think for themselves, not have to run to Batman, for instance. And that's what Birds of Prey was basically a buddy cop movie with women as the leads. And then when I started going to conventions and seeing that the audience was even way more diverse than I had imagined, because from a small town and no comic store, no community, I just thought, man, we are so far behind. This is not cool. And it's been one of the best things has been watching conventions diversify and bring more people in and more diverse creatorship. It's just been incredible in the last decade, the change that has come about because of that. And now we have creators from all backgrounds that can tell us amazing stories.
It just leads to a better reading experience, right, across the board, I think.
Well, if you've read one comic that's X, why do you want to read 10 comics that are X? Let's have more of the alphabet going on.
Oh, we're giving.
Oh, nice.
There we go. We're giving. There you go. You got a prize for the best question. Awesome. All right. Okay. Fantastic. Okay, we have another question back here. What's your name? What's your question?
Yeah. Hi. My name is Sue.
Hello, Sue.
Hi, Gail. My big question is, I've noticed a lot of great women coming up in comics these days, Amanda Conner, yourself, Marguerite Bennett, but they all seem to be writing women projects, which is great, but is it difficult for women to get to write male leads or male team books? Because one of the things we were talking about is that it's great to see women writers writing women books, but we would love to see you writing the Justice League with Wonder Woman in charge, or somebody writing male-led team books. But it seems there aren't a lot of women. Is it difficult for women to get jobs writing male leads, or is it just not the preference
Well, I think that, you know, not all female creators are the same and have the same tastes or want to do the same type of work is one thing. But another thing is when I first started, that was a huge concern of mine, was I did not want to be stereotyped as the chick writer that only writes the chicks. So I went straight to Deadpool.
Strong choice.
Which is like, you know, the most testosterone-filled male book you could probably get for a single character. And then when I went on to Birds of Prey, I was a little concerned about that, but I felt that I had this thing that I really had burning that I wanted to do and see if it worked. I knew it would work, and I told Dan DiDio it would work. But a lot of people doubted it, so that just makes me more stubborn and, you know, really knuckle down and really want to make sure that it works. But I did say no to Wonder Woman for quite a few years before I said yes because of that. Yeah. I don't know, because she was my favorite growing up, and I just was really, you know, I was writing Birds of Prey, which was all these female characters, and we'd bring other female characters into Birds of Prey as well, and I just felt like, you know, if I go straight from Birds of Prey to Wonder Woman, am I going to get that now I'm only going to write female characters thing? And I was really scared of it. But when I wrote Wonder Woman in a JLA classified with Jose doing the art, I just completely was just, why am I saying no to this? This is the most amazing character ever. And then I wrote her again in an issue of Birds of Prey, and I really fell in love with it. So then the next time I was asked, I said yes, but... that's just how I deal with it. Other people, you know, are different. You know, we've had female writers of Punisher and
Pete's a big Punisher fan. Yeah. So he's,
yeah. She's,
but I have to admit, I like writing Conan. I loved writing Superman, which at the time everybody was just complained all the time, writers, about how hard Superman was to write because he's too powerful, he's too this, he's too that. And I was like, no, no, no. It's all about, you know, the people around him and how they react to what he's doing and the situation he gets into, and I fell in love with it. So,
have you encountered that stereotype of the chick writer that can only write chicks?
From some people, but I just don't ever listen to that. So when you know, if they are only offering me chick books and I don't want to do them, I say no, thank you, and do something else. But I've been doing a lot of creator-owned, and each one, if you look at it, like when I was doing Red Sonja, Tomb Raider, and Batgirl all at the same time, so those are three single female-led books, which normally I would not have chosen to do that, but I wanted to show that we could do that and that they could all be three, be completely different characters from each other with their own motivations, their own lives, their own tone, their own everything, and their own look, their own costumes, that we didn't have to have them be the same. And that's why I did that at that time.
It's a little bit of a...
kind of a brat.
It's a little bit of a tricky double-edged sword, right? Because you want to have all of these diverse voices, not behind the camera, but working behind the scenes in comics, writing and doing art. And you want, if I'm thinking specifically of like the Riri Williams thing that happened recently in Iron Man, where Brian Michael Bendis was writing a teen African-American girl. So you want somebody who is able to capture that voice behind the camera, but you don't want to say, oh, because it is a black teen girl, it needs to be a black teen girl writing it. You need to also be able to show that people can write different things at the same time.
That's true. However, when you have really talented writers that should be writing those characters, I think they should be writing them too. You know, I mean... especially because we need, just like the diversity of characters, we need diversity of creators, and that will create more diversity of characters, more interesting stories that'll go off in directions that we can't predict. But no writer likes to be, you know, not at least that I know, we don't like to be, you know, pigeonholed into one thing or another. So I think if you could do the job, but we also need people who are from those walks of life doing it too.
Yeah. The diversity of creators thing I think is particularly interesting because it always feels like, particularly with the big two publishers, Marvel or DC, that you hit a point where there's one dude who's writing every comic and that's it. And so maybe the way, I think we're going to solve comics right here, you guys. I think maybe the way to get around it is not pushing away from that point so you don't have X dude writing 17 comics all at the same time. But at the same time, it becomes a financial concern, right?
Right, and that's when it becomes really tricky, and that's why some of the projects that I'm doing right now are with more independent publishers, because, except, you know, Clean Room is with Vertigo, is because they're coming at it from a different perspective. And with someone like DC or Marvel that have huge offices and a huge corporation and movie franchises, and so they know that mainstream public is looking at these books at the same time as the more strictly comic book reader, they take all of this into consideration when they assign the writers and things. So I would like to see more people given a shot, you know, for their work and not their look or where they're from, but for the actual work. And when they do pair up teams, don't do it cynically. You know, if you're pairing up a team, like, I remember I had this conversation with Dwayne McDuffie before he passed. We used to run into each other at conventions, and we'd tell kind of little war stories and laugh, and he just was so, you know, I miss seeing his smile so much, and he was just so brilliant, and everything he wrote had so much heart in it. And he was saying, yeah, they asked me to be in documentaries all the time, because I think I had just been in a Superman documentary, which was a little unusual as a female, you know, to be in it. And he was saying, yeah, they keep asking me to do all these documentaries, but they always want me to talk about the black character, the character that has black in front of it, Black Lightning, Black Panther, whatever. And he says, they never ask me to talk about Spider-Man, and I know everything there is possibly to ever know about Spider-Man. So we don't want to approach things cynically in that way either. We need to take people for who they are, not just what they look like.
Cool. All right, great. You got another question?
Yep.
All right.
Thank you for wearing your Catman costume, by the way.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I think Catman should probably get one of these, right?
He needs to get a prize.
Okay.
You know, before my question real quick, if I could comment on that, because not only do Grave do different characters with their own voice, but you also create a lot of characters to create new voices out there, so thank you for that. My question, I know you love a lot of horror comics, and you always have those elements in a lot of your books, so what is it like for Clean Room to finally get to do something that's pure that, and also...
I have a lot more nightmares than I did before.
And I have a lot more nightmares since reading it, because some of that, every book has something really freaky and disturbing in it. So do you also have a checklist of things that you've been waiting to put in stuff, or what?
The way that I approach horror is kind of like I approach comedy, which sounds really weird, but the single most important thing is the unpredictability of it.
Yeah.
If you see it coming a mile away, it's not that funny. If you see it coming a mile away, it's not that scary. Or if you've seen it 100 times before, it's not that scary or funny. And so I work pretty hard trying to come up with something I think that has a new angle or we haven't seen before. And not only that, but I like things to linger in your mind. So when you tell me you have nightmares, not so sorry.
Happy. Happy about it.
Satisfying. Some things, even though Clean Room is, you know, horror, and we wouldn't typically say these things happening in it are real, it has a solid grounding in real stuff that we're dealing with in our society and in our current life and things. And to me, those types of things are terrifying, the psychology of it, the control of it. And also in Leaving Megalopolis, do we really want to give up our safety and control to a whole nother entity? And then when that's gone, we don't know what the fuck to do anymore. You know, is this really what we should do? So even though these elements are scary and different, they have a basis in what's going on in our society and kind of the way that I'm looking at things sometimes.
Cool. Very cool. Got another question?
Yep.
All right.
I'm like an aspiring comic book artist. I want to create my own comics.
Awesome.
You know, I just want to know, because I both like to try, I'm trying to work on my own web comics, you know, both doing the writing and the art. I just want to know what kind of advice would you give to, you know, those who are trying to make their own comics and trying to make it big either in the public, like, you know, in the, with the publishers or on, you know, online with the web comics.
Now, I think you're starting in a good place, because if you have a web comic that gets a lot of views or that's really good, or even that an editor can go and look at it and see what your work is, you're ahead of the game, and they like just doing those one-click looks at things. So I think that's really good. But just really, I would encourage you to really make sure you're thinking about bringing your own voice to it, sticking to your own principles, making sure it's something that we haven't seen before, that's got its own spin on it, that kind of stands out with your own perspective. I've literally had, for example, this one young woman came up to me, and she said, I'm writing this comic, and I have this character, I'm telling this story, and this girl has a mom and a dad, and she said, but I had two dads, and so I'm really having trouble writing this mom and dad relationship. And I said, well, then why are you writing that? Giving her two dads is awesome, and we haven't really seen much of that, so that's what I think you should do, instead of trying to force this, you know, mom and dad relationship that you are not comfortable with and you don't know and that you're scared of writing because you don't know about it. So things like that that she thought was a total detriment and was hiding, you know, and wanted to try to make her writing the same as everyone else's. I encourage people to don't do that, to bring your own principles and perspective and experience into it. It's really important. And I had the advice when I first started to try not to be too different. And that was the worst piece of advice, in my opinion, that anyone can give any type of artist or writer or creator of any kind, is to not be too different. And might as well just go to who they have already, and they will, because they'll have a track record for it.
Very cool. I think we have time for a couple more questions. Oh, wow.
Ooh, script.
Very cool.
That's awesome.
Study that. All right, we got a question for this guy over here. What's your name? What's your question?
Hi, my name is Brian. I'm Sue's husband, as you well know.
You're the nerd wannabe, right? Nerd in training.
Wow. No. And I'm going to straighten that out right now. I've been collecting comics since the early 60s.
Oh, wow.
I'm one of the old timers. And there's two things that one of them that I love and one of them that I hate. I love the stuff that you're doing with Clean Room and all that, because it's nice, it's fresh. And I loved what you were doing with Wonder Woman. I don't like when you take iconic characters, like you said, and change things. Mm. I don't like when you say, okay, Wonder Woman is not made of clay. That's what she is. Get over it, get over yourself, get on to the rest. The question is, how do you deal with people that tell you, no, I want to change this just because?
Well, normally, because I'm a writer, I don't really have control over what the publisher or other writers are doing. But my opinion on it is that we have iconic characters that work for a reason. And they've worked for 70-plus years for a reason, because they've got certain core principles. However, if we don't update them, then they stop working. So we have to, in my opinion, be careful about the updating, and while still keeping these core principles that are attractive about the character in the first place there. And when I was asked to write Wonder Woman, I think it was 8 months before I sat down and started writing the first issue, because I spent that time thinking about updating and tone and trying to keep the core stuff and not go against what had come before, but make it more current and relatable for today's audience, because today's audience is not 1940s audience, and we are going to get in trouble if we, you know, and I think Wonder Woman that was written in the 50s would never work right now. So it's a line, and the way I feel is keep those core principles there and update the rest.
All right, very cool.
Cool.
Yes, I did. Well, if I don't feel that it's going to work, or if I don't feel that I can get it to work, then I won't do it, because it's just not worth it to me. And that's not to say that someone else can't get it to work, but if I'm just really not feeling it, or if I feel like, oh, if they do this, it's going to be... Like, I actually knew on the Superman Returns movie, I was told the basic plot well before it came out. The writers came, you're going to be so excited about this, wait till you hear this, blah, blah, blah. And I heard it, and I was like, oh, shit, this isn't going to work to myself, you know. And if I feel like there's, like, a huge glaring error like that, then usually I won't Like, if they were going to say, well, we want you to write Superman and we want Superman to kill Lois, I'd say, no, thank you. You
know? We want to do Wonder Woman, but as a man. Is that something you jump on?
Or give her a father.
cool. Do we have one more question, maybe? Anybody? Nope. Yeah, this guy up here hasn't asked a question yet.
So my question is this sort of evolution of the writing going to bleed into evolution of the visuals? And I'm specifically asking about costume design. I don't know if you saw this or were even aware, but Hanna-Barbera did an update of their Electra Woman and Dyna Girl as a straight-to-video last year, and the costume design was great. It was really more Deadpool with ballistic fiber and that sort of stuff. And as much as I love Olivia Munn in a leather leotard, you know, I looked at those characters in that satire, and I thought, these are women that are going to jump into a fistfight.
Yeah. You know, it's the same thing about updating the characters is we can't keep the same costumes forever. You know, the Superman bi-level didn't work. You know, we can't. There's different things that we just need to update as fashion changes, attitudes change, and to refresh it even. I don't have problems with costume changes. Some are successful and some are not, you know.
All right, there we go. Any last-second questions? I saw one other hand over here. Did you want to ask another one? All the way in the back, right there. Wait, use it. Pete, run, quick. Quick, while we're still on time. Pete, run.
Faster.
This
run
is the
faster.
Only exercise Pete is going to get all crews. Go ahead.
So you talked about writing characters that you know, because it makes a lot of sense. It makes excellent sense also. But
well, there's also you should know more. I tell people that too.
Right, and that was kind of my question. There's a lot of times you have to write characters that you don't know anything about. Mm-hmm. I mean, just inevitable. So how do you get to do that? How do you do that?
Well, first of all, now that we have an internet, that's like magic. Because you can go on social media and you can ask people. And, you know, I've created several characters. Alicia Yeo from Batgirl is one where I talked a lot of hours and very in-depth with someone who was trans and got their perspective on it. And then I'll go to a couple other people and they get their perspective. And then I'll usually come up with an amalgam of it if I'm not. Or, you know, I've written stories that take place in Singapore. And I wrote that story before I actually went to Singapore. So I found someone online who lived in Singapore who could help me. Research, I love researching stuff. So I'm never afraid to do that. But you just, you know, you have to have the courage to ask people the questions and to listen to their answers as well. Because I do know of people who will ask the questions and then they didn't really listen and they go on to do something. But, you know, you talk to people, you watch people, you create, you know, some of your own in it too. You have to be able to put yourself in a completely different mindset, body, background, everything from yourself. You know, Wonder Woman obviously did not grow up on a tiny town outside of a tiny town in Florence, Oregon, you know, which is my background. So you have to be able to, you know, put yourself in those shoes.
Very cool. Cool. We have a couple more prizes. Asked questions but didn't get a prize? These two folks?
Yeah, I think everybody did.
And that guy back there. So who gets the Wonder Woman mini?
Ooh.
Gal?
Tough.
I'd say, Susan, you didn't get a prize yet?
Well, you got a prize now. There you go.
Congratulations.
Let's give
Michael wanted that to go to someone who would really appreciate
it. Let's give it to her dude. And you, sir, back there, you get a fantasy visor as well.
Fantasy
very awesome.
Visor. Perfect. All right,
before
for
we wrap
cruising.
Up, real quick, what do you want to plug again? Anything else coming up?
Well, I just want people to please take a look out for Crosswind by myself and Kat Staggs when it comes out in the spring. And then following that, I'm doing a book with Walter called Wonderfall, which is an all-ages fantasy that takes place far, far into the future and has, rather than having like an English vibe to the fantasy, it's more South American. And it's cool. Very beautiful. Walter, who was my artist on Red Sonja, is the co-creator on that, but I had to steal him to help us out with a clean room for a little while, so that'll be coming out later. And those are the two things right now I could talk about. I do have some things coming out from other publishers as well as DC that we're just not ready to talk about. But one of them is something I've been wanting to do for a long time.
Oh, Wonder Woman, but as a dude, right? Good. I'm excited.
Good. That's a great. To do it for cool. 4 minutes.
A couple of quick things before we go. Coming up right in this room, if you are in this room, otherwise, if you're listening at home, probably still in the same room.
Great.
We have Jennifer Heddle, who is a senior editor on all of the Star Wars books. She oversees the comics as well as the books as well.
Yeah.
So that should be awesome. We're going to talk to her very shortly. Then we're going to have Mark Waid, who made a brief guest appearance here. We'll be back.
Yeah, he's just popping.
On the stage, and then Frank Thierry will be coming straight off of Key West, probably sunburnt and maybe a little inebriated. We'll see what happens.
Yeah,
I don't want to make any judgments about anybody, but they'll be here today, and then we have four more shows in 2 days after that. So please check.
And I think we can plug our appearance at the hot tub on the main deck at 2 a.m.
Oh, well,
tonight.
We can actually plug. We're also going to be part of. It says Cruise Words, but it's actually Charles Soule's Curse Words, which is a new book he published through Image Comics. They're doing a stage reading of that tonight at 6:30. So we're going to be
there
as well. Should be a lot of fun. Not just us, also more awesome people. There you go. Okay, what else do you want to plug?
You follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Yeah, friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on the show.
Yep, you can also check us out at comicbookclublive.com, nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank Gal!
Yeah!
Thank you, guys. And thank you, guys, for coming. I know there's a lot of other stuff you could be doing right now.
Yeah, we appreciate it, guys.
Thank you to Fantasy, and we will see you guys very soon.
Very soon.
Good night.
Moments.